Kids FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and you're listening to The Value of Liberty.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. So I want to begin real quick with a reminder of Bards Fest, which is August 26th. August 26th through August 29th. It's going to be in St. Charles, Missouri. And as part of that, we're doing the Slipper Revolution. And we're doing that to support, to demonstrate our power as patriots and in support of Mike Lindell of MyPillow and his My Slippers. And so you have a Bards code, B-A-R-D-S, and you can use that over at MyPillow to get some great discounts and to get yourself a pair of My Slippers, because Mike's going to be speaking on August 27th. And on that day, we want all the patriots to wear their My Slippers. Wear them, celebrate with him, and let's show him how much love we as patriots have. And so let's make it rain. The cancel culture left tried to remove $65 million, has removed $65 million in sales. And our objective is to restore and to cancel the cancel culture and to restore those sales through 1 million sales of My Slippers. And we're pushing to get $69 million back into the coffers of MyPillow for all the great things that Mike has done, including election verification, outreach for small businesses, drug rehab, and just building a great business and a great company in America. So you've got the Bards code, B-A-R-D-S. You can go to MyPillow.com, share it with friends and family. And if they've been vaccinated, tell them they're going to need a pillow because they're going to be in a heck of a lot of pain coming up. So, or give them slippers. Like, give them an early Christmas present. Like, what did you say you got vaccinated? Oh, I'll tell you what. I'm going to buy you a Christmas gift for August. Because I'm not sure you're going to be around in December. But I want you to celebrate with me. Anyway, get yourself a pair of My Slippers. And a bunch of other stuff. My pillow, My Slippers, my sheets, my towels, my everything. Just go My Pillow crazy with the Bards Fest. Bards, just B-A-R-D-S, Bards. And if you didn't get that, just in case that confuses you a little bit, B-A-R-D-S. And then there's no FM, right? So it's Bards FM, but you drop the FM, use the Bards. That's your code. Just go nail it. Have a good time. Well, that's right. They've got doggy beds, too. You can sure make your doggy happy by getting him a My Pillow doggy bed. So it's like a My Doggy bed? Is that what that is? Okay. Say, speaking of great shoes, since we were just talking about comfy My Slippers, I had the best conversation today with the only company in America. Well, there's a couple others, but they don't really count. Like, this is the only real, no kidding, 100% made in America sneaker tennis shoe company in all of America. And I love these guys. And it's called Carson Shoes. Carson Footwear, actually. Carson Footwear. Now, I need to warn you about a couple of things. All right, so Carson Footwear are a running shoe. They're like the most comfortable shoes I have ever worn in my life. I'm not kidding about this. And by the way, this is not an advertisement pitch. This is just talking about a great American company because I had a great conversation with him today. And I called him because I have not been able to, I've been wanting to get one particular pair for Bards Fest because I wanted to show it off because I love their shoes. And it's all American made. He's up outside of Portland. So I got hold of him today. This is Nathan. And it's just, so it's such a cool guy. I like him so much when he is spirit of business. And I said, Nathan, it's Everett. I'm sorry, Everett, not Nathan, Everett. So we're talking away, and I said, you know, like, hey man, what's going on with the shoes? And he's like, and I talk a little bit. He says, are you Bards of War? I go, yeah, I've got the podcast Bards FM, but that's me. He goes, man, I need to tell you something. He goes, I need to tell you. He says, I get calls all the time from your followers asking about getting shoes. So I want to thank you. And I'm like, well, this is cool. He said, but you need to tell him this. He goes, we're really hurting from the COVID thing. I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Cause you're in the, I reminded him that he was in communist Antifa, edge of communist Antifaville, which he agreed. So what he wanted me to tell everybody is this, that they're starting, it's like he's almost had to completely start over because thanks to this is me saying, these aren't his words, thanks to this communist world that we are in right now, he had something like 139 employees and now he's down to 3. And part of the problem is he can't get anybody to work because they all want to get their welfare check, or I'm sorry, their unemployment check and their free money from heaven or mana or whatever it is that comes from DC. So he's rehiring and retraining, and he's got his employee base starting back up. There are about this month, he says they'll be caught up on back orders, and then they're going to start production back up, and they'll be taking orders. And there's always a delay, because the last time I got a pair a year ago, it was about 3 months to get a pair, which is all cool with me. And so anyway, super, super company. And I'm going to be sporting a couple pair of those at Bards Fest. You can check them out on my feet when you get to Bards Fest. So if you give them a call you go to their website, there's not much available right now because they're making and whatever they have extra, they put up on the website, but they're trying to get their back orders caught up, which is good business. But they're going to be starting up on orders again. They're super comfortable shoes. And it's an American-made company. I think, and like I said, it's the only real American running shoe company in the country. I mean, everything there is 100% American made. And there might even be rumor that there could be a custom, maybe design for Bards. Could you imagine? Could you imagine that? Would that be like super cool or what? So I'll keep you posted. But when that time comes, Patriots, we got to help this company get back on their feet too. This is another great company. We don't want to overwhelm them because this is one of these things about this environment. Once people figured out they could get free money, I'll tell you. Can't even begin on that one. I had a construction company years ago. It was in Portland too. And I was like, okay. You know, everybody's like, hire American. So I go through this whole process, like hardcore hiring American. And I'll never forget this. I interviewed like 5 guys and finally find this guy. He's a pretty stocky built guy. European descent sort of dude. And he's got this big old truck and he's costing him a lot of money and he's driving down south to work. And so I offer him good money. He looks at me and he says, that sounds like hard work. And I started laughing. I was like, dude, this is construction. What do you think, man? He's like, I don't want the job. I'm just going to keep driving down south. So I found 2 guys with green cards and I never looked back. And I hate to say that, but I'm telling you, they work so doggone hard. 2 guys from Mexico. They were the best workers I've ever had. Worked like crazy. Did the greatest work ever. And it just irritated me on another level. It's like, what happened to America? And that's the question we've really got to be asking a lot this day. What has happened to us? What has happened to us? I mean, we don't make anything. I mean, I go back to, Carson Footwear. I mean, we were talking about this today. They're doing things in the traditions of how they built shoes in the 1950s because all the machines that are built to make shoes are built either in India or China. And it's just, we're getting down to a place now where it's like this whole world we're in, even in this crisis, it's like, I get this sense that like, okay, I'll fight for the company, for the country, but Can you make sure and get me a good salary while we're going through too? Because I love freedom, but come on, man, I need some benefits and I need a 401k. And do you have a retirement package with that war? Gee, many crickets. I mean, we're sitting here with the collapse of the entire world, and it's like, I do want a better retirement package if you don't mind. Insane. And that's kind of where this has become, right? So I wanted to start with tonight a reminder of one of America's great patriots, Nathan Hale. June 6th, he was born in 1755, and he died on September 27th or 22nd, 1776. He was an American patriot, soldier, and spy for the Continental Army during the American Revolutionary War. He had volunteered for an intelligence gathering mission in the city of New York, but was captured by the British and executed. Nathan Hale was born in Coventry, Connecticut, and at the age of 14, he was sent with his brother to attend school at Yale College. He graduated with top honors in 1773, after which he became a teacher first in East Haddon and later in New London. That's all Connecticut area. At the start of the Revolutionary War, Nathan joined a militia unit and was soon chosen as first lieutenant. He did not participate with his men in the siege of Boston, but he later led them to the Continental Army's 7th Connecticut Regiment. The two parties joined together and Hale was promoted to captain. In 1776, Hale was given command of a small troop defending New York City, and the men under his command managed to rescue a ship full of supplies. Unfortunately, the British responded by capturing the city in the Battle of Long Island and devastating blow to the Americans. Hale offered to sneak into British lines and report on their activity, an act that, if found out, would result in immediate execution. Nathan was ferried into the city, but he was able to remain hidden for only a few weeks before he was captured by Major Robert Rogers, who had recognized the man as a patriot spy and lured him into identifying himself. However, other accounts insist that Nathan's loyalist cousin betrayed him, probably, more likely. Hale was brought to British General William Howe, who questioned him extensively. Questioning by the British way was not pleasant, by the way. They like to sip their tea and beat the hell out of Americans. The British way. Make sure you lift the pinky when you sip tea, too. And before locking him up for the night, he was extensively questioned and probably pretty heavily worked over. British had an amazing way of torturing, too. They were ruthless. They had mastered it over this, over how they handled their colonies throughout the world. The next morning, he was marching to the Park of Artillery, where he was hanged. Just before his death, Hale gave an eloquent speech during which he reportedly spoke the famous line, "I only regret that I have but once life to give, one life to give for my country." Interestingly, in 1985, Nathan Hale was officially declared a state hero of Connecticut. Only took about 200 years, but that's okay. Glad they got around to it. Nathan Hale, again, this is a sense of time. And it's a time in which in America, people understood tyranny. And they understood what they were fighting for. And those that were committed to the true sense of liberty took all the risks that needed to be to stand up against the British and to fight. Interesting, one of the great wars that has gone on, and we've referred to it in many other ways, but it was an extremely essential part of the Revolutionary War, was the church. So I'm going to read a passage here from, this is pbs.org, our favorite. It's actually pretty well written, but I'll read it anyway, even though it is from PBS. But it goes like this. For most Americans of for most Americans of the time, the Revolutionary War was a struggle for freedom and independent nation. However, for members of the church, it represented a conflict between loyalty to an emerging United States and an oath to the King of England sworn before the eyes of God. For some, this dissidence was too great to bear. During the campaign, over half of the Anglican priests in America gave up their ministries rather than go against the promise to serve the king, while some even supported the British forces. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Oh, let's see. I think I'll shut my church down, but we'll open it as an injection center. Just thought I'd throw that one in there. How interesting how history repeats itself. And then they didn't swear an oath to the king. They just swore an oath to the corrupt politicians of D.C. to be loyalists to the international accord of Luciferian worship. Hey, Franklin Graham, how's that going today for you, by the way? Did I say Franklin Graham? Did I mention Franklin Graham? Yeah, okay. Just had to make sure we got that in there. Franklin Graham. Man, I tell you, what a dirtbag. So, anyway, we continue. For others, the revolution became something of a religious crusade. Jonathan Mayhew, the pastor of West Church in Boston, gave moral sanction to the war by preaching that opposition to a tyrant, in this case the British occupiers, was a glorious Christian duty. I like this guy. Some ministers became military chaplains. One such, Presbyterian minister James Caldwell, famously helped at the Battle of Springfield, New Jersey, in 1780. Upon noticing that the company had, oh, I love this, this is a great story, by the way. Upon noticing that the company had run out of wadding, the paper used to hold the powder in the barrel of the gun, he ran to a nearby church and procured a pile of hymn books for the job. They were literally tearing hymns, the pages out of the hymn books, and using them as wadding. Remember that paper at that time was made from cotton, and he was historically noted as yelling as they were firing at the British, "Give them hymns, boys, give them hymns." That's a great story. We had some really good spirited people in our nation. Today it's like, "I'll take the vax." "Give them hymns, boy." "I'll take the vax." "Give them hymns, boy." "No, I'd just rather take the shot, please, because I want to be a drone and I want my Krispy Kreme donut." That's what we've kind of fallen to. I don't think it's a real good indication for things, to be honest with you. When you start having Krispy Kreme donuts offered to you to change your genetics, it's like, huh. Like, Constitution, liberty, freedom, the whole package. A country that you can get to choose your way by your choice, blessed by God. Or, here it comes, a free Krispy Kreme donut just to take the injection to change your DNA. Well, let me see, how tough a decision is that? And surprisingly, 40% of Americans chose the donut. Oh my goodness gracious. Man, what has happened to us? Anyway, ministers could also take part in more clerical side of the revolution. John Witherspoon was a political person and represented New Jersey in the Continental Congress from 1776 to 1782. Not only did he serve on over 100 committees, but his signatures can be found on the Declaration of Independence. John Witherspoon, that's a great one. And this goes on. Overall, the Revolutionary War had a lasting impact on the state of religion in America. Those who were partial to the millennialist ideas believed that Christ would reign on earth for 1,000 years. Well, we're not partial to it. It's just kind of like, all right. And the victory over Britain was a clear sign of God's partiality for the United States. Well, yeah, that's kind of true because that's what it is. That's what we're trying to preserve today. Anglican ministers who had stayed in the colony started to reconstruct an independent American church. From the Protestant Episcopal Church of the United States was eventually established. Methodists were also compelled to form the All-American Methodist Episcopal Church. Presbyterians followed suit and began to view their church as American in nature, reducing the influence of the Church of Scotland. After years of division, I love this ending, that's why it was worth reading. The religions of the United States were finally united under one banner, that of being American. This left them free to embark on their next crusade, ensuring the abolition of slavery in the fledgling state of independence. It's a good story, actually. PBS, I'll give you credit. You didn't sell us out on that one. So I think it's really important to realize that that piece is that the churches became unified as defining themselves as being American. So the question is, what has happened? And I think it goes back to the question of tonight's show, or the title of tonight's show, The Value of Liberty. What is it? What is the value of liberty? Unfortunately, right now, the value of liberty comes in so many forms. It's like, well, yeah, I'll take liberty, but like I was saying, there's an opportunistic point of view that's happening here, and it's going to continue. It's going to get worse. You watch. We have not begun to see this one rise. Watch the snake oil salesman come out of the woodwork. You're going to see, I've got a cure for those who took the injection. I've got this. I have special magic stuff solutions that you can do. And it's going to be the razzle-dazzle, exclusive proprietary distribution rights if you agree to pay me so much money. It's going to be this nonsense. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we have to make a living, and I get it, Patriots, and I'm not doing one of these give it all free things. But I want to put this in perspective, and I think it's worth thinking. If somebody really comes up with a solution to this bioweapon that's being injected in people, and they really have a cure, if you will, I think the postulate or the question to put before everybody is, if you have it, and let's say you even patent it, let's just say somebody here comes up with this amazing insight, and you patent it even, and you have the answer, it will save it all for people. What do you do with it? You set up a clinic, start, or do you give it to the world and do everything you can to provide and try to heal as many people and just trust that God will take care of you? See, there's a magnitude of issues here. And this is where I think we have to start looking at. We're all trying to survive in this time, which is not easy. I would not expect somebody to run a business and give away what they have for free. We can't survive that way. However, if this is something that is literally going to save humanity, if we're going to get to this point, you're going to see the difference of who people are very quickly. You know, I'm going to hallmark here somebody who you know that we've heard a lot from. I was on her show the other night. I have a tremendous amount of respect for her, and I just want to point this out, okay? Dr. Sherry Tenpenny came up with a cocktail mix, which is an every other week mix of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Okay, no one else has done it. That was hers. Now, she can't control the supply. That's just life. So you're going to have to pay for whatever it costs to get your HCQ and your ivermectin. But she didn't try to make some sort of proprietary intellectual property over that mix and then try to sell it as some special cure. You can go to her website. You can listen to her podcast. She talks about it openly. She's given it to the world. So this is my point. There are certain things we can control and can't control. I can't control if someone comes up with a big machine and that machine is built with many different parts. It's expensive. Let's say the machine's $250,000. You can't expect somebody to just, you know, I'm going to spend all my money and give every machine away. They're going to have to be able to recover some of that cost. But the idea, they can't control the cost of the supply, but the idea behind that is where we have to start digging in. Because right now we're talking about saving God's children. We're not talking about worrying about our retirement in the next couple of years. Because, you know, for those of you that are in that mindset, I'm not saying anybody here is, but when you run into those, you might want to remind them that we're kind of on a short leash. A short timeline. Matter of fact, we're almost going to get a little sarcastic about life, because if we don't make it to the end of the summer, well, there's going to be a lot of empty seats at Bard's Fest. You guys better get there. I'm just going to say this. We are going to have one heck of a party. And we've got a lot of seats. You all better make it there. If you have to get a bicycle and pedal, you better pedal. And our one mod from Canada, Paper Bag, she better get a balloon and fly over. That's all I can say. I'll have to send a rescue team and get her out. Tell you, maybe she can, maybe our mod from Canada can get like, do like those Chinese things, and they get little candles and they put little paper bags above them, and then she can just float over the border or something. I tell you, dig a hole under the border. We need to free Canada. That's another subject, but that's another night of talking. But anyway, back to the value of liberty. We are in a crazy time, and it just continues to befuddle me how people can't let go of the cycles of what they're in. We are in a critical point in time when the efforts that we're doing, if we trust in God, you're going to be provided for, but it's not like you're trying to make bank right now. Okay? It is not like we are trying to set aside our retirement and go, hey, yeah, man, I got this one. I just came up with the greatest little herbal mix. I think I could spin this as Saving America with one little pill. And then I can market it. I can put my own name brand on it. Then I can franchise it, and I can send it out here. And in the process, There is an interview. Another person, I just was really blown away today. There is an interview by Clay Clark. He just did. And as you know, Clay is going to be speaking at Bard's Fest. I have a lot of respect for Clay. I'm also going to be speaking at Clay's event in Anaheim, California in July. And I'm going to be speaking at his event in Colorado Springs in September. Okay? That was Clay who asked me to join. I'm very grateful for that. But I want to point this out. There was an interview that he did with a woman, and I don't have it right in front of me, but we'll get it up. And it's on Rumble. And she is a person who has been heavily injured by this injection. She's been left with basically what is like Parkinson's disease, constantly shaking. She can't stop shaking. She's got neuro damage. And of course, no doctor wants to acknowledge that this is a vaccine-related issue. And it brought me to tears today. And it takes a lot to do that. And I was in tears watching this thing. And this is what I gained so much respect for Clay on this. And in the process of this, if you haven't seen this interview, it's powerful. He's moved. And he says to her, I'm giving you, he asked if there was a way for her to raise money. And she had not set anything up. So Clay says, I'm going to send you $1,000, he says, just to give you some help. And then he asked her a little bit about her kids, and he says, I'm going to send you another $1,000 to do something good for your kids. And then he went on to ask if she had a telephone number so people can donate, because you can do that on your cell phone. And then Clay says this, and when people are willing to do this, you know their heart is in the absolute right place. And he says this to his audience. If you're not willing to give this woman $5, he says, get off my channel and don't ever watch me again. I am 100% behind that. If we are not willing to help one another, and take the opportunities where we can to help. And sometimes it's only one, but it is the one that we have the opportunity to help. If that is, if we are not willing to step up, I'd say the same thing. You're on the wrong place. You're on the wrong channel. Okay? We are in a point in time, Patriots, where the number of people that are standing together are fewer. And the people that have the true value of what it is to be in walking with Christ in our heart, putting the right values before us, and putting the right value on liberty. There is not a value for liberty that we can express in dollars. And if people think that there is, wow, I just, Nathan Hale, I only regret that I have but one life to give for my nation, for my country. I have one life to give for my country, but I have more importantly, a full life to give to Christ and God in this time. And there's no price on that. There's no ledger amount on the end of that. I don't look at my 401k, my savings, my investments. I don't look at any of those and go, well, let me see. Today, my liberty value is up. Tomorrow, my liberty value is down. I've always felt that when it came time, and it was time, in 2016, I realized that we had hit that moment. And I'm not in any way doing the Scott Brack scratch here, but I just want to put this in perspective. I took everything I had in savings. It was about $100,000 at the time, and I put it 100% into fighting for this nation, and I've never looked back. I never will. And I will never stop living that way. This fight is a fight that is in God's hands. And unless we are willing to step up and put the right value on what that is, if we're going to put it in a material value, you belong with those of Babylon. And that is ultimately the corrupted values that are in our life. When somebody introduces something that they're going to do and they put a price tag on it first, look, I mean, I'll support people left and right that are doing the right thing. With what I have, I'll share it. But we have to do this and live this way. It's not about, our wealth is about the wealth that God gives us. And as we give, God gives more. And as we extend our life, God gives more. I just saw one of our people in the live chat. My favorite word of all things was just posted there. Stewardship. Man, amen. Stewardship. It is about stewardship. About everything that God gives us. He's not asking you to give away your house and live on the street. But we have to, as we take care of our house, we have to use any excess we have to help others. And right now, it is so important. We are dealing with the most evil of cabals. We are dealing with the potential loss of all freedom and all liberty that God ever gave us, in part because a large percentage of this world turned their back on God and are walking right off that cliff. I mean, it breaks my heart to see those that made the wrong decision. This woman on Clay's show, made the wrong decision. But she's returning to God, and she's even said, I would tell anybody that wants to take this, just trust in God. Our prayers need to be with her. I hope that she can be healed. But what I do know is in her honesty and her humility in telling the story, I also know that her soul is being healed. I know that God is going to reclaim her. Whether she is healed physically, I don't know. But we are dealing with an evil that finds itself in pleasure, destroying humanity. And I have said this and I will say it over and over. Anybody that is encouraging this injection is going to face, at the end of the day, the lake of fire. I'm done playing a game, man. It is so disgusting. I don't care who they are. I don't care what type of nonsense that people want to put in their thoughts. Like, well, they actually didn't mean that. They were meaning this. If they are pushing this injection, they deserve to end up in the lake of fire. This thing is killing humanity. There is nothing good about it. There is no goodness about it. Just before the show started tonight, and I have not listened to it yet, so I want to be clear about that. But Robert Patrick Lewis, who I'm going to have on the show here very soon, who, as you know, is Special Forces, retired. I consider him a brother in war and a good friend. And he sent me a link to the latest episode of Dark to Light. And it's titled Stark Warning from PhD in Canada. I haven't listened to it yet, but what he told me to, he said to fast forward to a few minutes in, and he said, this is a Canadian who has now looked at the biodiversity of this injection, and he said it's worse than we thought. Patriots, this whole thing was designed to kill humanity, to destroy the genome, and to separate us from God. In the end, it was designed to reduce humanity to a crumbled core and ultimately introduce their one world religion that we would somehow be subject to and subjugated by, because we would be so broken and we would be bowing to them and pleading for them for anything we could get. We would be starving. We would be without water. We would be without work. We would need anything they give. This is my commitment to you, and I hope you will make this commitment yourself. And it is my commitment to God. I do not care what they do. I do not care what they take away. I will never bow to this Luciferian evil. Period. Done. End of story. Never. This is the commitment. You have to look at yourself in the mirror. You have to sit with God and pray on. And you have to, if you're going to make this, there is no way back on this. And you never, ever bow to anything other than God, period. These people are trying to force this world to bow, and too many people are being deceived because they don't have a foundation in faith. They're too concerned about how other people think. I am in no way judging this poor woman that was on Clay Clark's show. I mean, I feel for her. She was horrible to watch. But at the end of the day, our strength has to be rock solid with God. We cannot worry about what other people say or think. And it all comes down to how we are walking with God and what we value in terms of liberty. Is liberty about going to a restaurant? Is liberty about getting on a cruise? Is liberty about worrying about whether you can travel next year? Because, whoa, I live my life and I saved my whole life and I haven't had a chance to use my savings yet to go out here and travel the world. You know what? I could care less. Man, I'm telling you, the weakness of society these days, it translates liberty to the material satisfaction of things. I only have regret that I have but one life to live, and I would add this for God and my country. What an incredible time in which we live. It is now upon the shoulders of the remnant, the few that stand, to have the backbone, the strength, and the true nature of having a spine in this world, to stand up to this evil, to not waver, and to speak boldly the truth on every single thing we approach. That means we cannot sit on the sideline. The cost, the value of liberty is what we feel in our heart and our love for God and Christ. That's your value. Your true value goes to your relationship of Christ and through Christ to the Father. That's your true value. When you can say at the end of the day that you have done all that you can, and I will guarantee you not one of us can honestly say that, because there's always some little extra thing we can do, and that should drive us every day to do more. And that's the humbling point of all this. God's calling on us to do more. And we look at God and we say, oh, man, I don't know. And he's like, you better get off your butt and get moving. I don't know if he says butt. That's me. I don't know if God would use butt. I think God would kick me in the butt. I don't know if he'd use butt. I know I'd get kicked in the butt. But anyway. This is a point where we have to literally stand up and do everything we can. And there is, if you think that you're like, man, today I'm tired. I didn't get my 8 hours of sleep. I'd be like, you need a slipper slap. That's what you need. You need a slipper slap. What you need to be saying is, man, I got 8 hours. I'm so blessed this day, but tomorrow I'm going to get 3. And the next day I'm going to try to get by on 2. Because this is a war for humanity. There is no time to waste. Man, it is so much weight on all of us, and it is never has so much been asked of so few by so many. Guess what? We are here. That quote by the Irish Prime Minister. We are here. We are the remnant. We are standing and holding this line. We are literally holding the edge of the boat. It's like you're sitting on the edge of a cliff with a car tilting over, right? And you've got all the passengers sitting on the front of that hood. And there's a few of us sitting back here on the bumper trying to rock this thing back in. We got a rope tied on the bumper. We're trying to pull it back. And humanity keeps going, no, no, no. We want to go off the edge. Please let us fall. There's a point that every day, I bet every one of us goes, I'm about ready to cut that rope and let you all fall. And the only reason we don't is because we turn to God and we say, God, help us. And he says, I need you to stand. I need you to stand because those are my children. And yes, they're deceived, but I need you to stand because we have to hold this line and we can't let this car fall over because if it goes over the edge, it isn't just them. We all lose. And that's why we fight. That's why we stand. And that's what the true value of liberty is. It's when God puts those voices in our head. It's when God speaks to us in our heart. It's when that glory of Christ glows within us and we realize how much more power we have. And we sit for a minute and we reflect back on the sacrifice of Christ after having been flailed, his back opened and left in bloody flesh and carried a drug, a cross that weighed 300 pounds. And he never wavered. Let us have that strength. Let us have that clarity. Let us have that conviction. Let us light those fires, patriots. And let us make it rain. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for all that you bring and all that you provide for us and all the tolerance you've given us, all the love that you continue to extend us. And yet, Lord, we sit here and we are so deeply humbled and we're asking the question, what has happened to us? Lord, we pray for the many that have just wandered off this cliff. And Lord, we know we cannot stop. And so, Lord, we pray. We begin our prayers by humbling ourselves before you. We embolden that love of Christ within our hearts, and we pray. We pray for clarity, Lord. Not just in our hearts, but those of the many that walk in darkness. And Lord, we pray that we can light enough candles to keep enough light going, to crack through that darkness, to give them a spark, to make them realize what they have done, to bring them back. So, Lord, we stand. And we don't just stand. We stand and press in, standing for the principles and values that you give. And we just continue to look to you to guide us in this direction, to point us where we need to go, and to just be there when we feel like the world is crushing upon us and it is so dark right now, Lord. And yet you provide us with so much hope, so much love, so much light. May that light burn ever brighter within us, and may we find the greater courage that we don't even know we have. We just pray, Lord, that you can give us that and let us sleep less, work more, fight longer to bring this victory to you. For the victory is yours. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. A time to stand. A time to fight. A time to never look back and regret. A time to give everything you've ever had, every piece of fight you have within you, to give it all, to leave it all on the field, to never, ever regret. What I know and what we have to know and we have to hold in our hearts is when we, however this ends, we need to stand before God and be able to honestly say, I did all I could. What timing is here is not ours to choose. It is God's timing, and it is us to stand here and to fight this fight. That is what's asked of us. When it ends, how long it goes, is an irrelevant question, for it is God's direction for us to be here. And with that, we fight relentlessly, and we never bend, we never bow. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. Press in hard. Our values are what drive us. Our strength in Christ is what gives us that power to stand in the face of this. Speak the truth. Open the eyes of people. Be courageous in what you do, in every act and every breath. Lead with prayer. Through prayer, we will heal this world, but through prayer, we can crack open those dark places. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. He's always there. We just have to trust in him. And in the end, God will win. He will deliver. I want to be there when that happens. For one thing, I want to throat stomp evil. As a matter of fact, I want to throat stomp the devil. I'm like literally going to wear one of my really cool set of Carson sneakers, and I'm going to walk up and I'm going to kick the devil right where, you know where he probably had a snip and tuck. And I'm going to kick him so doggone hard he's going to fall down. And then I'm going to throat stomp the hell out of him. And then I'm going to put him on the elevator and press the down button and go, here's a little sip of water. No, I'm not even giving you the sip of water. See ya, down you go. And away we go. All right, Patriots. Buckle up. We got a war to fight and a war to win. So you have a blessed night. I'll be back a little bit later. Got a late start tonight thanks to the audio technical problems. Who knows what that was about? Demons in the system. But we got them cleansed and cleared. Quick little prayer before I did the third restart and it all went away. So I'll see you this evening. You have a blessed night. Until then or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
We shall pay any price. Bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light. It can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.